Greetings, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got another great show, a lot of things going on. I wanted to remind people that, our guest Rosemary is going to be a speaker at our eSETI conference, which runs July 2nd through the 5th, 2015. Registration is still available, and you can go to www.privateinvitationeSETI.com. Or email eseti2015@gmail.com. We'll give that again later. But we have quite a turnout. We just finished Michael Tellinger's event, and that was amazing. 2-day workshop, actually 3-day workshop. And that was quite amazing. But with a lot of different information coming in on these new technologies and the stone technologies and the Anunnaki technologies, it was amazing. As well as the Ubuntu program. So sorry you missed it. It just ended, and I'm sure we'll get them out again, but we did record it. So we'll probably have that up and available, hopefully, soon. But anyway, without further ado, I want to go through Rosemary's bio here. She's a leading paranormal researcher and investigator whose work includes UFOs, ETs, cryptids, spirit communication, the afterlife, angels, extraordinary dreams, and entity encounters of all kinds. She's worked full-time in the field more than 30 years, producing 60 books, including 9 encyclopedia and reference books. She serves on the advisory board of the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. She's done groundbreaking research on the Degen and her roles in ET abductions, or their roles in ET abductions, ancient aliens, and gods, paranormal phenomenon, attachment and possessions, cryptid encounters, shadow people, the black-eyed kids, and in her book, The Degen Connection, the hidden links between Degen, shadow people, ETs, Nephilim, Archons, reptilians, and other entities. And she reveals how the Degen participate in abductions and interfere in technology. Have I seen that happen firsthand? And her work emphasizes the complex relationships of entity experiences, phenomenon, and evidence documented throughout history, and examines the effects of entity contact experiences. In particular, she has done extensive work with in problem and negative cases and remedies that can be applied. I can go on and on this, but you can connect with her at visionaryliving.com or degenuniverse.com. And without any further ado, I just want to bring Rosemary, are you with us?
I am indeed, James. How are you today?
Oh, doing great. Just finishing up. We just had Michael Tellinger here, and it was an awesome weekend, and we're just unwinding from that and kind of cleaning up and getting our heads back on.
I've heard Michael Tellinger, and he gives awesome presentations, just so much information.
Yeah, this weekend was more of a workshop where we were talking about, okay, this is how we got to where we're at, and then here's the solution. So it's really based on solutions and how to unravel and unwind this Archon, you know, draconian program that we've been under for so long. But it was quite amazing event.
Well, a lot of people are looking for solutions to some entity interference issues that we've had going on for a long time in human history, and a lot of it operates in the background without people knowing what's really going on. But as consciousness is changing and evolving at a very rapid rate now, more people are becoming aware of this and they want to do something about it. So there's such a demand now for information about what's going on, how are we being affected, and what do we do about it? What do we do to magnify the good things so that we can continue to benefit in better ways, and what do we do to counteract the negative things?
Yeah, exactly. And I know that's so imperative right now, that people learn how to heal unseen negative influences and maintain their own self-authority and not get, you know, sucked into these programs. And I know back in the late 70s, I'm dating myself now, since we were teaching channeling classes and safeguards for pure channeling. And what I found out back then in the day, that people were just letting anything in. And some were channeling their own subconscious, some were channeling astral beings and just people that crossed over, and anybody that came along, they would just start allowing them to use their body, you know, as a channel, and it, the whole program got so convoluted that I just kind of backed out of it completely. And I go, I'm going to empower people, to make their own personal God connection.
It is important to have your own very strong spiritual foundation. And there's been a tendency in recent years, especially in the paranormal field, I've done quite a bit of work in that regard, where they get excited about the thrills of having some sort of spirit contact, any spirit contact, and, leap into it without preparing themselves to deal with what they're going to encounter. And it's so important to have your spiritual foundation, at least some knowledge or education about what's out there, and a very good buffer around you, which can be built up through prayer, meditation, visualization, energy healing practices, all kinds of spiritual practices. There's a lot of different presences out there that are positive, negative, ambivalent, and we can encounter any of those, no matter how well-intentioned we are to seek something on a higher level. We always have to be prepared for dealing with the lower energy. But as we've just been talking in the last couple of minutes, James, we've got so much of this low-level stuff that's infiltrated the human presence on this planet. And for so long, we really do need to wake up to what's been happening with human beings and manipulative entities and how we can counteract these.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's like that's been one of our mainstays here, that first thing we teach is how to heal unseen negative influences and how to recognize them and who they are. Even before meditation or any inner sensitivity training, that's the first thing that we teach. And we tell people, if you are going to open up to these other realms and even expand in your own awareness, things are going to be in your fields. They're going to come to you like a moth to a flame. I know in India they say the closer you get to nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads, So the brighter your light and the more you're moving up that vibrational continuum, the more challenged you're going to be.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And that's a fundamental that we find in just about every esoteric teaching out there about how to expand consciousness and deal with these alternate realities and otherworldly presences, no matter what they are. The deeper you go into your work, the longer you're on the path, the more you advance your consciousness, you're absolutely right. Your light shines in much brighter and different ways, and that will attract entities who would like to give you a counter punch. No matter how spiritual you are, how well-intentioned, how oriented to the good and the light, you can't keep out the negative. It doesn't guarantee that you're not going to have negative experiences. And some people have more than others for a variety of reasons. Some people have very few, but we do have to be prepared. The world we live in today is full of people of a variety of intentions, and in daily life, we can encounter a thug, a bully, a criminal, even a terrorist, as well as people who are working for the good. And so just like we have to be prepared in daily life, we have to be prepared on the spiritual front as well.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's missing in a lot of teachings. And I see over and over like some very powerful people that are on the the forefront of especially ufology and things like that, that keep saying that, there are no negative entities, there are no negative ETs or anything else, and they keep pushing this agenda. And I think it's completely irresponsible, to make statements like that, and because you are just opening people up with no security, no self-authority, no practices, how to heal or deal with these energies. And people can get possessed or extremely influenced, in these cases.
There are many opportunistic entities out there of all kinds. I deal with them in a lot of what I call persistent negative hauntings, where something will attach to a home environment and often to a person. We have opportunistic and aggressive entities on the abduction front, who are interfering with a lot of people, entities that will attach and exert long-term but very subtle influences on people's thoughts and influencing their choices and decisions. And in many respects, this happens on such a low level that the victim may not be aware of it. And so forewarned is forearmed, and I have incorporated into my own work more and more presentations, talks, and materials oriented toward this kind of awareness and ways that we can ward it off at the pass, literally, or remedy it if it's already in the works. And I'm so excited about coming to your event in July because one of my presentations does deal with this. I call it the Living on the Interdimensional Earth, and it's about our rapidly expanding consciousness, which is pushing out the frontiers of physical reality. And we are having more and more encounters with all kinds of beings, interdimensional beings as well as extraterrestrial, that share the planet with us and have for a long time, and then also invasive kinds of presences who are attracted here for various reasons. And like all of our experiences, it's not all good, it's not all bad, it's often a mix, but how do we incorporate this changing reality into our daily life, our worldview, our own efforts to expand our consciousness? How can we do it safely? How can we make sure that we're not going to fall prey to some of the negative, manipulative influences out there?
Yeah, that is so paramount right now and necessary because I'm just seeing over and over again. I mean, people come here and they look like a deer in the headlights, and there's like no one home, and they're not grounded, they're not present, and they've got all these attachments on them, and we just see this. You know, so many times I went to the McMinnville UFO fest there, which is kind of a spoof. You know, I hate to say it, but it's just a big party. I think it's just a reason to get drunk and party, you know, but sad seeing that because they really miss the point. You know, they're not even talking about all the benevolent activity and the ones that are here to assist us in our awakening and healing. That's been, you know, set aside on purpose, basically. But watching that, I watched people walking through the crowd that just looked like zombies. I mean, they were either so drugged or so possessed or whatever that there was like nobody home, and you know they couldn't even look at you. You know, they had that blank look on their face, and they're walking like robots.
We have a number of distractions going on in our society today which have a negative effect on our ability to maintain our sovereignty and our boundaries and our self-determination. And we have such an emphasis. Well, we've always had a materialistic culture here, but we've had such an emphasis in recent years on this to be oriented toward acquiring things, pursuing entertainment, even to the point of mindless entertainment, to be constantly absorbed all the time. We have the internet, cell phones, all of this wonderful technology which can be used for good or for bad, and we are encouraged constantly to never have a thought to ourselves, a moment to ourselves, to be distracted at all times. If you are not immediately engaged in something, you can always pick up your cell phone and be distracted by that. And now we're starting to see articles in the media about how psychotherapists are becoming concerned about a new addiction, cell phone addiction, especially among young people, that so many of them don't seem to be interested in or able to focus on a single activity for any length of time. They've got to be constantly distracted with the latest text, the latest image, the latest ping. And these sorts of influences can definitely be used by manipulative forces, whether they're human or otherwise, to prevent people from having the right boundaries against other kinds of influence. We become literally lobotomized and robotized.
All right, we're back again, and happens every time we start talking about the Archon Network or the Gen or any of these guys, bam, the connection drops. And so I'm on a whole different system right now, and hopefully this one will hold up. But anyway, we're talking about how the Archon Network, you know, the Illuminati boys, how they control the first three chakras, survival, sex, and power, and just hold us in those programs through the, you know, the uneven dispersal of wealth. They enslave us through dependency on resources and through bombardment with the media and music and everything else. That the whole program is to lock you into those lower chakras and keep you from moving into the heart and, you know, your ascension process. So I'm wondering, Rosemary, do you have the, are you experiencing the same thing or coming to the same conclusion?
Yes, I am, James, and it is rather alarming to see the increase in the distraction of people in our society, the encouragement to be distracted at all times. And right when we were getting interrupted in our conversation, which does happen very frequently when researchers start talking about certain kinds of manipulation, that our society is constantly encouraged to be distracted at all moments. Never have a thought to yourself. Never have a moment to yourself. Distract yourself with something all the time. And now with the smartphones and cell phones, we have increasing numbers of people who can't have a private moment without picking up their cell phone and checking their latest text or photo or ping or whatever. This is causing people to lose their ability to focus on single tasks for long periods of time. They have to be constantly distracted and entertained. I think the biggest impact is on young people who haven't attained the maturity and understanding about the negative aspects of this. They're all caught up in staring at their cell phones all the time. They can't take their faces off their cell phones even across the street. And this is a rather alarming trend that even psychotherapists are now commenting on in the media, that we have a brand new society addiction here. It's not to substance abuse, it's to cell phone abuse. It's literally being addicted to your cell phone. Technology has such a double-edged sword. We've made so many wonderful advancements in our ability to communicate, stay linked, even form global mind. And that's the good side of it. But the downside of it is it can be used by powers who want to work against human beings. It can be used against us to keep us distracted and even turned into what I call lobotomized robots that don't think for yourself because everything's there for you. You can look it up on the Internet. You can be distracted at all times, you don't have to sit down and have a conversation with anyone. Entire families go out to dinner, and they all sit there and play on their cell phones instead of talking to each other. It's a disturbing trend, and it's rapidly escalating.
Yeah, there's times I just want to, I mean, I have a cell phone, and I just want to stop it. I don't even want to be around it. And so I leave it shut off all the time, and it upsets a lot of people. But I'll go and get my messages later, just call people and be on it very shortly. And the texting, too, is like you could be texting all day long, you know, if I was on there. And the other thing is the email, too. It's like I am, like, at least a month behind on my email because there's no way I can keep up with it. There's just so many emails coming in that it's basically impossible. But I'm doing the best I can. I try to answer everybody's emails. But, you know, if I were to do that, I would just have to 24/7 be on the email and answering people's, questions and things like that and not have any life whatsoever.
Oh, it's true. The explosion in use of social media and the Internet, again, it's got its good side and its downside. The downside is it's made people very lazy, And I hear every day from people who think that I just spend all my day sitting around on the internet waiting to answer somebody's question that they could find the answer to in, for example, on my website or one of my books or elsewhere on the internet. But it's a lazy way to send somebody an email and say, tell me all about whatever, or please answer my questions. And then they get offended when you don't accommodate them. And mm-hmm. counteracting these trends, I think, is the challenge ahead for us, to retain critical thinking, dialogue, emotional connection to other human beings. This is another erosion of technology, is that it isolates people, and it has a detrimental effect on our ability to bond emotionally and even mentally with other human beings. These changes are occurring even more rapidly than we can keep up with them. You know, you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago music, and that's another area that I find rather alarming, the pop music that is promoted to young people and to the mass audience. It permeates all of our culture, television, movies, using rhythms and beats that are jarring to the body as well as the mind, and lyrics that are very destructive and detrimental, and also promoting immersion in sexual pleasure and materialism. It's one thing to have a well-balanced, pleasurable life, and that's one of the things that I do believe human beings are meant to enjoy as much as they can. But we're being encouraged to be lost in it and addicted to it.
Yeah, I agree. And I've seen that over and over. We had, you know, some experiences that I've had in my own life with people working for me that, you know, that eventually I've had to just disassociate myself from it. And because they went so far into that program, you know, with alcohol and drugs and crazy ass music, excuse my language, but and with the deviant messages in it and everything, and pretty soon you just go, okay, look, I can't be around that frequency anymore. It's taking everything down, and it's allowing other things in, you know, that are creating disruptions, and so eventually you have to set some boundaries.
So how we're all going to be able to rise above these challenges? That's what's facing us today. And fortunately, we have a lot of people who realize that there are some negative undercurrents afoot and that they do have to be counteracted. More than ever, we are looking at the effects of global mindset and global mind reaction to things. We are united in powerful ways unprecedented in human history. Thanks to the media and the internet, global mind, masses of people, millions of people, can react instantly to news that spreads around the planet, to images, to events, and this forms very powerful thought forms of an emotional reaction, emotional energy, that then can be manipulated if somebody or some organization or ruling authority has that intent. And there have probably, it's my suspicion that there have been experiments even in mass media to test how people respond to things. In fact, there are companies like IBM who have trend watchers, and they monitor social media to see what's trending and how people are responding to certain things that appear in social media, what goes viral and why, and how people react to things that go viral. This is information that organizations, companies, governments are mining, and they're mining this information because it has to do with crowd control, social control, and keeping things, you know, under in certain order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I've seen that again and again, where I use an example. I went down to get some new tires on my one of my trucks, and I went down to Les Schwab, right? And they have this big widescreen TV. And then I sit there and I watch these bits, these sound bits, and they're saying, you know, it's code orange today, you know, or, you know, this and this is happening, you know, the terrorists are this, and there's new cells, and you know, all these fear, you know, you should be very afraid, but we've got you protected, you know, we're on it, you know, and I just go, my God, I mean, this is ridiculous. And there was actually a frequency coming out of that TV that was just so sickening almost. It was just like, oh, God, you know, like people sit and watch this. What is this doing to their consciousness and their own energy fields? And you know, I was just observing that. And I think I threw my TV set out in the early 70s. I just said, I'm not watching this thing anymore.
Well, it's a good idea to at least limit the time that one spends in looking at television and also news on the Internet, and also to be very aware of the kinds of information that are being fed to people. Of course, news has always had a negative slant because that's what grips people. Critics have been commenting on this, you know, ever since television came into mass dissemination, that attempts at happy news and positive news just don't have the same impact as when people can react in horror to terrible situations. But we do need to realize what the effect that this has on our own thoughts, our moods, our emotions, and also how we respond to certain situations. And thought is so powerful, and most people have not connected with the power of thought to manifest. And the more we experience this increase in global mind, in collective thinking, and the thought forms that arise from that, we're really going to be need to be aware of how we are thinking and emotionally responding to global situations and to any situation that's going to engage large numbers of people.
You know, I agree. I've watched over and over how they spurred the masses, you know, through the media and through fear and things like that. And, you know, that whole Iraqi war, you know, and all these wars have been generated by the same group, and they've financed both sides of every war since Napoleon. But you know, and then later on we find out that, you know, none of it was true. Like, there were no weapons of mass destruction, you know, and they had nothing to do with 9/11, you know, Iraq, absolutely nothing whatsoever, and they even admitted it, you know. But people have these memories. They don't have any long-term memories, it seems like, and they just get distracted by something else, and they just move on with their lives. And you know, you really look back and you think about it, you know, millions of people were slaughtered over there, like Fallujah. The whole place was just leveled over a lie. And, you know, and it was basically all about oil, and the military are being used as the brute squad for the corporations. And when you really look at the big picture and step back and look at this, which is knowledge that anybody can access right now, is that whole war was based on a lie, and it was contrived, and the people were misled and sent into that thing. But, you know, it's coming out now. It's coming out in a lot of different venues, but not the mainstream media. They're definitely not, you know, they're just putting out more lies. But, you know, you would think people would just be appalled by that and want to hold the people accountable, you know, for those lies and all those deaths and everything else. But it just seems like the masses just keep, you know, going on glued to that TV, waiting for the next new thing to react to.
We have been overexposed to images of violence, and it does become more and more difficult to even respond in any sort of meaningful, even sort of human way, when we're under a constant barrage, and
more and more sensational coverage as well, things that the media might not have touched out of some sense of self-regulating propriety in decades past. It's almost no holds barred, and the gorier, the bloodier, the more horrific, the more shocking, the better. And the Internet, of course, totally uncensored, so whatever does not make it onto the news channels can be found on the Internet. And there's no end in sight to all of this, but it's so numbing that after a while, many people can't respond at the appropriate level. And that also makes masses of people more vulnerable to manipulation. When you can perpetrate large-scale horrors and not have other people react in any sort of angry or denouncing or take action against sort of way, it's people are at risk of becoming increasingly passive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, they're just waiting for, you know, to find out, you know, turn on the boob tube and, you know, they get their beer and their pizza, and as long as they have their SUV, they're fine, you know. and they wait for the boob tube to tell them, you know, what how to think, you know, what's next, what's happening around the world. But it's a very crazy message that they're putting out, a twisted message, you know, to actually steer the people in the direction they want them to go. And but I know there's a lot of alternative medias, you know, especially like PBS Radio and other ones out there that are really blowing the whistle on all this and bringing the truth out. And I've seen like some of these false flag things were done so bad, and with their actors, you know, their crisis actors and everything else. And you know, here's a woman with her leg blown off on the cell phone talking to her family. Supposedly with her leg blown off, sitting there in a chair, you know, things like that. You just go, come on. I mean, who's going to be on their cell phone, you know, missing a leg? You know, that just doesn't make sense. And just a lot of other things where they show them wheeling them over and over again, you know, through this area, you know, just to get a good take on it on the news. So, you know, there's just so many things that over and over that you see that are just so obvious, you just can't miss it. You know, you can, I guess, if you want to, but I'm just watching this whole orchestrated program that just keeps going over and over and over, and I go, when are the people going to finally wake up and figure it out? But I do feel that around the corner, though, that with all these new court systems coming in, you know, the common law courts and all the other things, and these juries and Alfred Weber's work, you know, and things like that, this is all being exposed, you know, and they are going to trial and all the evidence is being presented, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, their karma comes home to roost.
Well, the good thing is that there are many things that aware individuals can do to counteract these forces, and it's important more than ever that individuals start doing this, because the more people who do, then that becomes a very powerful collective force as well. And that's why it's so important to come to events like the ESETI conference in July, where all kinds of speakers will have all kinds of information for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are going to have Alfred Weber via Skype and John Rappaport and some amazing people that have been, you know, covering this and these events and giving us the truth about them. I can't wait to see what they come up with next. You know, it's I never know with those guys, but you know, they blow the lid off these things, and some of it's so crazy you go, that's nuts. There's no way that could happen. And then you find out later on it did happen that way, and it was totally true, you know. So it's kind of interesting, you know, watching, you know, and they usually take a lot of heat until the information comes out, so the facts start coming out, and then all of a sudden they're vindicated.
Well, I am looking forward to interacting with people and also to doing some more sky watching. As you recall, I was there for my very first time several years ago, and found it to be literally an enchanting piece of property, highly energized with all kinds of activity. And so I'm looking forward to experiencing that again. It sounds like things have really progressed energy-wise on your land with all the work that you've been doing.
Yeah, it definitely has. It's everybody that's come here on the land that's been here in the past, they go, boy, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it because the energy is so much stronger and it's very solid and it's not, it's fully anchored in. And there's a lot more ships coming in and really putting on a show. I mean, making right angle turns and, making it very clear that these are not satellites. These are not meteors or things like that. So, and, responding to the people, powering up and doing all the usual things. So it's getting very active. And I know every time we have one of these conferences, the ships do put on quite a show, for the people on the ground.
And one of the benefits of people being exposed to this sort of thing is to have their own direct experience. When I found in working with so many people over the years, all kinds of experiences, that when people have their own direct experience, it's one of the most powerful truths they can absorb. And that is very difficult for any manipulative force to counteract. So people do have to find their link to the truth, and that's truth with a capital T. It's often through direct experience. So when individuals can gather at a place like the East SETI Ranch in a community and communion of spirit toward advancing consciousness, toward linking up with high-level spiritual beings, to having direct contact with the Godhead, those sorts of activities, that has a very powerful impact that does have a ripple effect that spreads out to others in the community as well.
I think one of the things here at East SETI is that making it personal for people, they have their own personal contact here and their own personal experience with the ships is so important. And we've done this for over 30 years. And so a lot of the people in the UFO community kept trying to debunk us and suppress what's going on here. But the problem is the evidence is just overwhelming. I mean, we have boxes and boxes of video of these ships, landing, morphing into three, making right angle turns, responding to the people, ships reacting to each the other ships. It's just amazing evidence we have here and eyewitnesses, triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed Skunk Works people, and all these people have testified, Air Force base commanders, about the ships are here, and just about everybody in the UFO community has been here. There's a few people that haven't, but and have seen the ships as well, so they can't deny, the activity here. But despite all that, there's still those out there that would try to debunk it. But the main problem they have is that most of the people in the field are talking about some event that happened in the past, and they're still trying to prove, Roswell or some other event that happened in the past, which is the problem with this is it's not in the past. It's happening now, and it's still ongoing. So the more they try to debunk this, the more egg they get on the face, and they lose credibility because the evidence just keeps coming up over and over and over again that it is happening with the eyewitnesses and the people coming to the ranch and their footage and their videos, of the ship coming on a regular basis.
Well, when people are able to have their direct experience, they can often see the illusion that they've been living in or that has been encouraged upon them by outside forces. So very important to join into these. Well, there was one thing I wanted to ask you, James, since I last saw you at Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree at the end of May, very powerful event itself. And that last night where I did the opening meditation for your contact meditation, which I found to be a very powerful experience. And what sort of feedback did you get from people after that meditation?
You know what? People were just blown away. They had all kinds of contact experiences and like spontaneous healings and everything else. But the one thing I thought was amazing were the photographs that people brought to me, and I'll show them to you when you come to the eCity conference. I actually show them in my presentation. But the photographs were just these giant light shards came up from the ground, and it looked like a massive giant crystal light shard right in the middle of the whole group. And somebody got a photograph of that, and then they got photographs of these light beams just shooting all over, you know, leaving trails behind them, you know, through the group. And orbs that were bigger than the whole amphitheater came down and settled in on the group. They got photographs of that, and they got some video of some ships flying overhead as well. So, you know, overwhelmingly, the people, you know, loved the experience, but the evidence that was gathered there was just incredible. And you know, and I can't thank you enough. I know you helped open up that, you know, that experience as well, open up the meditation. So it was definitely a joint effort. But the evidence that came about that was just incredible. I think it'll blow your mind when I show you these photographs.
Well, I can't wait to see it. I did hear feedback from people about how much they enjoyed it and some of the details of their personal experiences, which were right in line with what you've just described. And for evidence to be collected, well, that's always very compelling as well. And mm-hmm. I do love it when people can get the photographs. By the way, I stayed on in Southern California for a while after contact in the desert. And, you know, the desert is such a place of that's ripe for contact anyway. It's
yeah.
got quite an energy and a presence to it. So I was staying not far from Joshua Tree, and I had a sighting in the sky. I saw a craft, and it appeared, I was actually just sky watching, just kind of gazing around, hoping to see some meteors and things like that. And this craft popped into view, and it was gray and kind of oblong. I could not tell how big it was because I really didn't know how high up it was. And stayed in my view for a few seconds, and just as I was thinking, what the heck is that? Then it just blipped out. And it was not a star. It was not a satellite. I've seen satellites many times, especially out in the desert, tiny little points of light moving in the sky. This
yeah.
was not it. And so my own feeling was that perhaps some of the energetic work that had been done at contact in the desert, including that last meditation, may have changed consciousness in some way or enabled me to have another kind of experience out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm. That often happens. People that come here to the ranch, they make their connection, and it goes with them. And what I find out is right after they go home or wherever, all of a sudden they start having all these sightings and all these experiences and inner contact as well, where in their meditations or in their sleep, you know, where they're in that hypnagogic state in between, they start having these contacts, and these higher dimensional beings start engaging them and teaching them and you know, sending them healing energy or things of that nature. So it definitely starts, you know, triggers things and starts opening those gates or those doors for people to expand, you know, in awareness and realize that there's a lot more of the universe out there than just this personality and body.
These are the kinds of experiences that will often change the person's complete worldview in terms of mm-hmm. Their explanations for reality, what else is possible in reality, what else is out there. And even without photographic evidence, that kind of direct experience is often so powerful that it becomes part of a person's undeniable inner truth. And these are the kinds of things that that I like to encourage because they really do propel a person along on their path for discovery in terms of what else can I learn, what else do I need to know and experience to confirm this new view of reality and to experience more of it. So I think that we're going to see an increasing emphasis on direct contact experience in the coming future, now and into the near future, as people open up their own psychic senses and their expand their consciousness to have those encounters.
Yeah, I agree. It's important. And what I found out, too, is that the UFOs here, people come to see the UFOs, and it's just a trigger mechanism. And then all of a sudden they go, well, two things are going on. One, you know, this is real, so what else have I been lied to about, you know? And I need to expand my parameters here, you know, to see what else is out there. But also, too, when they realize that it's not just seeing nuts and bolts ship out there, it's a light ship, and that if they really want to understand what's going on, they have to rise to the occasion, expand themselves, and get in touch with their own spirit. And that's where my whole focus is, mainly on empowering people to realize that they are multidimensional beings, you know, existing on a vibrational continuum. So, you know, but I find out that's what happens, is the shifts are just like the bait, in a way, for people to start, you know, their spiritual journey and start, you know, opening up and expanding in awareness.
Well, here's another thing that I've been hearing more about, and I know you have too, is the download, where people have a breakthrough experience, and it results in a flood of information and knowledge that they get directly. It just comes in large amounts. And I've had those myself, where you can't really sort through all the little bits and pieces of it at any one time. It comes almost whole into you as an intuitive shift and understanding. And I've been seeing more and more of those and hearing more about people's download experiences. And they happen through direct contact, through having a sighting or an encounter. Sometimes they happen in the dream state. And they can also happen at other, what I would call, critical turning points in people's lives. And I would imagine that there at eSETI, you've seen and experienced a lot of that with people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They get, you know, I know it's when I like William Henry was here once, and this huge ship flew over and powered up and just lit the whole sky up. And I asked William, I said, did you hear? And he goes, hear it. I go, did you see it? And he goes, see it. He goes, I felt it. He said, boy, they pulsed my heart. And my whole heart just expanded, you know, and opened up. And that's what happens, is people don't realize, is that it's not just seeing the ship. There's actually interaction that happens, and often a download of consciousness and energy that changes people. And it lifts people out of their old programs. And you know, there's so much more to it than just running around and, you know, looking for nuts and bolts and you know, getting that $1 million picture that people think they're going to get. I see over and over people get this picture of this video. Oh, yeah, this is my $1 million video. You know, I'm going to make $1 million off of this and everything else. And I said, well, I've got boxes and boxes of those, you know. And I'm not a millionaire, so don't quit your day job.
Well, we've talked a lot about some of the negative things going on in society, but there are a lot of positive things too, and these are we're just touching on some of those.
Yeah.
People have so much help these days with spiritual presences who become available to help people with positive change. And the networking that's going on among people who are interested in advancing consciousness for positive change is on the increase as well. So I'm very heartened by that, and overall I'm very optimistic about the future of humanity. We've had all kinds of cycles in our history where we've had dark ages and dark periods and heavy conflicts, but we've also had wonderful periods of expansion and enlightenment, breakthroughs. And I think that there's something about the human spirit, the human mindset that ultimately triumphs over all kinds of negativity. Some of the challenges that we're facing today are new and different because of our technology, and the way human energy can be harnessed and organized en masse now. But I do believe that in the long run, the spirit of independence, free will, self-determination, and sovereignty will prevail.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I And I've seen from the top down, from the highest levels, the highest dimensional beings are pressing their energies up all the way down through the vibrational continuum and helping the Earth shift, and they're tearing down this old Archon grid, this old network, and, you know, creating a new fifth-dimensional grid. And I just don't see any way possible for this old system to continue and a wonderful new system coming in to take its place. And, you know, there might be a little chaos in between this shift, but ultimately what I see is that, you know, the light wins out and we do, you know, move forward and take a quantum leap consciousness and evolution on the planet, and I think it's unstoppable. It's just too big.
I do agree with that. And whenever you have major change like this that's going on now, there is a lot of chaos and tumult, and I see people looking for direction, you know, sort of resetting their own compasses about what's going on and how do I reorient, how do I gain new direction, how do I stay on top of things. We've mm-hmm. also had so many challenges put upon us, too, through global upheaval and through the economy and through a lot of natural disasters. And some of these things, I think, have been manipulated and organized as a way of stripping people of their power and even their ability to survive. Mm-hmm. But we can come through that as well. We can definitely rise above that. So it's important for individuals to realize how significant it is, how crucial it is to maintain their self-determination and to not give over power and authority. Certainly not to give it over willingly, but not to give it over unconsciously. And that's where I believe we're seeing sort of the sneakiest inroads, that there are so many ways to influence people without them realizing it, that we can give over our power unconsciously.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're coming up to the end of the hour, so what is the best way for people to contact you to find out more about your books and the services that you offer?
My website is visionaryliving.com, and I have articles posted there. I have a free newsletter that comes out every month people can sign up for. And I have a shop where people can get autographed copies of my most popular books. That's the best place to go. And then my books are available elsewhere on the Internet through major sources like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Like you, I'm overwhelmed with email, but I do try and keep up with it as best as I can. And I do have a list of services that I provide as well. I do dream consultations, past life regressions, and readings. And the information about that is on my site as well, visionaryliving.com.
Awesome. Well, great. Hill, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, July 2nd through the 5th at the conference here at ESETI. And, you know, especially being out to sit out in the field and watch these ships come in and all the other paranormal activity here.
I'm looking forward to it too, James, and thank you so much for having me on the show today.
All right. Well, again, thanks for coming. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.